Appreciate the, thank you, Brother Dale. Appreciate the privilege. Appreciate the Lord preaching this preacher. Another warning. I thank God for that. That's a blessing, isn't it? God visit and warn sinners to get right off a place called hell. I heard my pastor say one time, a long time ago, he was preaching. He said, I can think only one good thing to say about hell. I'm not going. Isn't that right? Get born again, you can say that. Not going. What a privilege to be saved. I appreciate the presence of the Lord. I thank Him for letting us come. I've enjoyed this meeting already, and the preaching, the help I've got in the service. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. We'll start reading about verse number 9. We'll try to follow the Lord today. Be faithful to Him. I appreciate already all that God's done this morning. I want to make sure I do what God wants me to do. In verse number 9 it says, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in, more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain unto Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lies towards the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had attained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after this, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when we had taken up, they used helps and undergirded the ship. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being singly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, and as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldier cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day. Ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you take some meat for this for your health, that there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls. And when we had eaten enough, we lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek which is with a shore, into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. When they had taken up the anchors and committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore and falling to a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. The forepart struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those, that they which could swim should cast themselves first in the sea and get to land, and the rest some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. So it came to pass that they escaped all of them safe to land. Lord, I thank you for this day, God. I appreciate already, Lord, the presence and the message that was preached. I pray, God, you'd continue to deal with the hearts of sinners. Trouble them, Lord, we pray. Help us this morning. Touch this service. Touch me, Lord, as your servant. Help me to say what you want said. Get glory, God, out of the message, I pray, and touch hearts that are here. I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach just for a little while, if the Lord will help me, about be of good cheer. I believe God. And it's an interesting thing for a man to say on a boat, in the middle of an ocean, in the middle of a storm, when it seems like all hope is gone, for a man of God to stand up and say, be of good cheer. I believe God. And I thought, and I want to say a few things and try to get to where I want, God wants me to be about preaching. But I thought about storms, and you know, we go into them, come out of them, and some of them are, God brings them into our life, but others are brought in because we fail to do what God wants us to do. In this case here, these people had listened to their own voice. They had not listened to the man of God. He had told them what he thought and what he felt pressed in his heart. And yet they had listened to another voice and decided what they was going to do and took counsel from the wrong place. This is what brought them in this storm. And not only that, but they listened and followed that seducing, soft-blowing wind. It looked like everything was going right according to plan. I've seen a few people do that in my days. A preacher warns them, tells them what's right, tells them they're making mistakes. But just because everything seems to be falling in line right then, they think, well, the preacher don't know what he's talking about. My case is different. It won't turn out that way. And so they press on and push on out and raise anchor and start where they should not start. And it always turns out bad when you don't listen to the man of God. But I want to preach about today, the day we're living in and the storms we're facing in this country. And I don't want to be too despondent. I know God could give us revival. I don't want to ever hear God up and say it's too late. We're talking about an all-powerful God. If He wanted to, He could turn this country around. He could bring people back to Him. He could do something this government. But as a whole, I believe that the ship is probably lost. That we can be saved. Isn't that good to know? I'm glad. I want to be honest with you. In these days, I try to preach against the wickedness of our day. And I appreciate the preaching last night. And I thank God it encourages me. And I want to stand against the sin that has taken place. I want to cross this world where it's crossing God and stand for what's right. But when I stand up behind the pulpit of my church, I don't want to be full of despair and despondent, but I want to stand and say, be of good cheer. It might be the ship's going down, but we can be saved in the midst of this trouble. We can still have church. Isn't that right? God can still help us.
I'm glad in 2013 He can still save sinners. He can still come by in a Wednesday night service and pour His Spirit out on His people, and we can rejoice and thank Him for what He's done. Isn't it a blessing to know that who's sitting on the throne, who's in charge of everything, and it can all be all right? It's bad. Bad business going on. Everywhere you look, wickedness and darkness, as the preacher preached about last night, so true, with worldliness in our churches even. Such a time I've never seen. And sometimes I get so anxious to go home. But I want to be honest with you. I'm glad I'm living where I'm living. It won't be long now. It might be. I'll never see the graveyard. I'm glad I can look up towards heaven and say, be of good cheer. I believe God. We'll get out of here one of these days. God's going to take care of us. I thought, what made Paul able to say such things? How could he stand in front of them and talk to them like that way? You know what he done first of all? It said after a long abstinence, he got away and got along with God and prayed and talked to God. And if we want to stand and have good cheer these days, we have to get away from this world and lift our voices up towards heaven and talk to God and get help from Him. He alone can help us. Isn't that right? It's amazing to me. We're so full of the world, so full our lives are of activities and internet and technology that we have no time alone anymore. I can't make it if I don't hear from heaven. I've got to get alone with God in these days. I soon shrivel up and become this full of despair. But thank God there's peace when you have a prayer life.
Amen, brother.
You can have good cheer. You know, I thought he went down beside that boat and he had a promise when he went down there. You look back in Acts chapter 23. He's laying in the dungeon in Jerusalem and the Lord comes to him and says, be of good cheer, Paul. Just as you've testified of me in Jerusalem, you must bear witness of me in Rome. That's as good as saying you're going to go to Rome. The ship might be creaking. The waves might be rocking the boat. Everything might be screaming. You're not going to make it. But Paul could go down the boat and say, Lord, you promised me, and I'm going to bank on that.
Amen.
Isn't that right? I want to tell you something. I've got a promise. But May the 9th, 1985, in an old barn, I got born again. I raised the white flag. I took as long as I could take it. I struggled with it. At less than 17 years old, y'all gonna think I'm crazy. About 2 weeks from graduating out of high school, I raised all my life, contrary to this old time way. Thought y'all were crazy. But oh, I heard preaching, got under conviction, and that night in the barn, I couldn't take it anymore. And I said, God, I want to throw in with you. Please do something for me if you would. And sweet peace stole over my heart. And I felt clean all over. And it changed my life.
Amen.
And I got a promise. He started something. He's going to finish it. What Paul said, wasn't it, in Philippians? That he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Until the day of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen. I'm as saved as I'll ever be. But it ain't finished yet. But He's going to finish it. It's dark. I don't know what'll take place before we get out of here. I don't know. I'm amazed at how fast it's moving. How swiftly the change is taking place in our country. How openly we're embracing homosexuality. Not just at the White House, but even in church house. People are just hugging up to it, acting like it's not wrong anymore. I don't know how dark it'll get. Yeah. I realize now when you preach against that, yeah, there's a younger generation looks at you, yeah, and they've been told in school and told everywhere else, yeah, it's not so bad. They say, what's the preacher harping on anyway? Yeah. But I want to tell you something. When it gets so bad we can't stand it, God's coming back, yeah, and I'm going home. Yeah. I've got a promise. God started something in my life, and He's going to finish it. That helps me. Helps me. Helps me on Sunday morning. Get up behind the pulpit, look at my people, and know that we're living in rough times, but tell them, be of good cheer. We're still serving the God that owns it all, and He helps us. He can do for us. Hey, I know it's late, but we can still have church. I'm glad of it, aren't you? Sinners can still get born again. Lost people can still get under conviction. And if they'll respond right, God will be faithful to do what He's always done. Save them when they come the right way. You know what else He done down there? He got a promise. He had one when He went down there, but He got one. The Lord said, the ship's gone, but I've given you all these. So, wouldn't that be good? What's happened to that? I can't honestly say I'm a young man. Not that young anymore. I'm 45, soon be 46. But I don't remember some of y'all older ones are telling about going to church and some will say, hey, mama, get up and say, I was praying. And God promised me He'd save my young in this meeting. You're not hearing that no more. Not very many people getting a promise. But they're kind anymore. Amen. We're not praying. Amen. 5-10 minutes is not getting the job done. Oh, yeah. Right. We can't hardly get away from the computer and the iPod and iPad and all those things long enough how to slip off and shut the door and shut everything else off and call on God until He comes by and helps us. Listen, I'm probably the least of preachers in here. I realize that. I'm not much, I know that. But I do know this. I know who sits on the throne. And if I'll separate myself from the world and shut the door and get alone and do business with Him, promise me some things and help me down the house of God. And my people can get born again and go to heaven before it's too late. This country's gone, probably. We're headed for shipwreck, but we don't have to go down. We can be saved in the day we live in. If we'll shut the door and get along with God and pray again like they used to before we had our insurance and everything else and our employment and all that, when they had to look to the Lord if there's going to be beans on the table, they knew how to talk with God. God ever give you a promise? I don't find too many people know anything about bearing burdens anymore. That's an old word, I know, but it's still right. Get so loaded down for somebody you can't rest. You can't eat yourself. And you get trouble for them. And you pray over them and you pray over them and you pray over them until God lifts that burden and gives you peace and it's going to do something. Isn't that right? That ain't foreign to us, is it? It wasn't foreign to our forefathers. They knew about, they knew they were serving a God who held everything in His hands. And if He told them He could do it, He could do it. I believe God. We're to be a good cheer, shouldn't we? We believe God will know what He... I want to tell you something else that enabled Him to do that was His position. Not that He's a preacher, but the fact that He says in that when He talked to them, He said of whose I am and whom I serve. He said, listen. He said, I'm not my own anymore. God owns me. I belong. I'm one of His. And I can rest assured that He'll not forsake me. I belong to Him. My position enables me to have great peace and joy. I'm glad one night I give up and give in and got born again. And it ceased to be my responsibility to take care of myself. I belong to God. I want to be honest with you. I struggle with that. Even after his preaching, I'd plan and try. But all these last few years, what peace I've gotten learning that if I'll just live by faith and obey the Lord and serve him, he'll meet my every need. He'll do things that amazes me because he's that kind of God. See, I belong to him. He don't just own me, but I serve him. That's the next step. A lot of people belong to him, but they're not serving him. That's a bad shape to be in. But it's good when the storm comes. And you can say, I know God, and I'm in his will. I'm doing what he wants me to do. I'm here because he's brought me here. And he'll bring me out on the other side. We can't stop the storm. See, Paul, this storm wasn't his fault. He's in the boat with the rest of them. It's that centurion and them that failed to listen to God. Now, see, I'd like to tell you, just because we're Christians, we're going to escape all this. We're going to have to go through this mess they've done. But in the middle of it, God can be true to us. He can help us. Isn't that right? It'd be good, wouldn't it? I thought about that time, what I done told you about it in Acts 23, when God come to Paul in the dungeon and said, be of good cheer, as you've testified to me in Jerusalem, so you'll do in Rome. That don't sound like much to be of good cheer about, does it? He'd been beaten about half dead, and God said, just like you've done there, you're going to have to do it in Rome. But God knows what he's doing, and he can have peace in that he's in the will of God. We'd say, be of good cheer. God make it sail smooth. No problems, no troubles. I want to shout every time I go to church. I don't want no tears. That don't suit us. That's not what we need. Brother Wayne said it right. I thought that yesterday morning. God does some things. He says, the only way I can straighten you out. The only way I can get you where I want you. The only way I can get you to look to me. Some of the best times have been the worst times in my life. That don't make much sense. It don't sound right, but that is right. Some of the worst times in my life has been the best times because I've had no choice but to look up. And when I've done that, he's been faithful every time. Hey, we won't get out of this trouble. We're going to have to go through it with them, but thank God we don't have to go through it alone. And if we'll pray right and do right, maybe we can help somebody else to get in before it's too late. I'd like to see some others that are riding along with me get saved. Yeah, amen. I want to say a few other things. You know what else he done? Three times there they cast stuff off. Look, every time you turn around, he's pitching something out of the boat. I don't know how it is with you all, but I found the same thing true in my own Christian. Every time I turn around, the Lord's saying, that's a weighting you down, son. There it goes. You can fight it if you want to. But better off just say yes. And the quicker the better. When he comes by and says, that right there's dragging you and you're taking on water. If you'd pitch that over, I'd raise you up a little bit. I'd just go ahead and pitch it over. There are some things we better not lose. Them sailors are getting ready to leave the boat. And he said, now, we can't be saved. There's some churches gone now because they thought they didn't need preaching. Didn't need the Bible. Didn't need that old king. Any old book could do. Any old book won't do. Right. They thought that they knew how to have church and they really didn't need the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something. It don't matter how fundamentally straight you are. If the Holy Spirit don't come by, it's dead, dead, dead. Now I want to say this though. You can't practice error and the Spirit come by. That right? They run hand in hand. It takes the truth and the Spirit how to have real church. and then his attitude. In the middle of a storm, it's dark. He said, all right, now let's eat something. Hadn't eaten for 14 days, been fasting. Everybody's weak and they're going to have to swim for long. And he breaks bread and gives thanks to God. And it said he started to eat and they began to eat and were of good cheer. You know, it's infectious. Your attitude will affect somebody. Isn't that right? If I get up here on Sunday mornings, it's old me. It's about over, church. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't see how we can make it. Before long, everybody in the pew saying, old me. What are we going to do? Or we can be like Paul and stand up on the... Say, listen, be of good cheer. The storms are blowing, preacher. Be of good cheer. Do you see that? The sail's torn. Give good cheer.
Amen.
Preacher, we can't pump it fast enough. It's taking on what? Be of good cheer.
Amen.
How do you know? I believe God.
Amen. Yes.
Isn't that right? That makes all the difference. Don't matter what my ears say. Don't matter what my eyes say. Don't matter what the circumstances say. It's what thus says the Lord that carries the weight. I believe God. They all got saved. I want to say one other thing. Isn't it amazing? When Paul gave that first bit of advice, maybe the captain of the ship said, listen, Paul, go down there. Be quiet. You ain't no sailor. You don't know what... I'm the captain of this ship. Go down below and just be hush up. But then when the storm's coming, all the trouble on... Who's giving orders? Paul. An old man of God that believes the Lord. Well, you ever been there? Talk to somebody around you and you're lost? I don't want to hear that. Then the young gets in the hospital. Home's about to fall apart. They come to you and say, if you don't care, would you pray for me? Would you ask your church to pray for me? Isn't that right? Oh, if you live a life of faith, God will spin it around one day.
Yeah.
Those people that tell you, hush, life will come to you and say, you got something you want to say to me? I'd like to hear.
Amen, brother.
You'll find yourself given the orders.
Right.
I preach what the Lord wants to preach.